Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Rogue Report podcast in association with the Sunderland Community Soup Kitchen. It's Gav back after Sunderland's unfortunate 5-1 defeat in the quarterfinal of the League Cup. I'm joined by Chris Wynn. Hiya mate, how are you feeling after that?
Evening Gav. Surprisingly good after a 5-1 defeat.
Yeah, I'm with you there mate. I'm not exactly ecstatic about getting battered and it was hard to watch towards the end. But I think there's a lot we can take from that, isn't there? We were pretty good at times in that game and I thought, particularly in the first half, like when we went 2-0 down, it was nice to see us just taking the game to Arsenal, wasn't it, and having a bit of a go, and we'd scored a nice goal, and going into half-time, I mean, we'd done a Twitter space at half-time, me and Rich, and I was actually talking about the possibility of getting one back and sort of pushing them towards penalties and possibly winning it that way. You know, I was still full of hope at half-time, so, I mean, Arsenal's quality showed in the second half, and unfortunately, we got exposed for what we are, which is a League One outfit, really, you know, and it's difficult. It's difficult to take, isn't it? But at the same time, you've got to give the lads credit for the way they try to play.
Well, that's it. I mean, look, we're talking about a 5-1 defeat, and my kind of overriding feeling is kind of pride, which is odd, because I can't think of a defeat where I've come out of it thinking, you know, I'm just really proud of the lads. I'm just proud how we approach the whole game, and just, you know, we didn't park the bus, we didn't put kind of 10 men behind the ball and hope for the best and hope for, you know, one would go in off somebody's backside or something like that. I was just looking at the stats there. We had 12 shots, 6 on target. I mean, I bet you there's not that many Premier League sides going to go at the Emirates and have 12 shots and 6 on target this season.
Correct. No, you're bang on. Yeah, it shows how we try to play. I mean, when you sit down and think about it, right, there was two ways that Lee Johnson could have really approached this game. He could have either done what he did, which was stick to the philosophy, stick to the plan, try and play out from the back, try and play football, you know, press high and do all the things we're really good at in League One. Or he could have went uber defensive, put a team out, which I imagine would have included Corey Evans, would have included Aidan O'Brien, went a lot more defensive and played deeper and just tried to soak some pressure up and see what happens. I mean, I'm over the moon that he actually went with what he would have done normally in any normal game, and that was a team which tried to play good football.
Yeah. Well, by the time the second half kicked off, I had messages from an Arsenal fan, from a Spurs fan, from a Liverpool fan, from a Leighton Orient fan, and a couple more that I can't even remember, but all sending me messages saying, God, you play some nice stuff, actually. And it's just, you know, like you said, we took the ball at the back. And the thing that I was pleased with, I mean, we just wanted the ball. I mean, look at where the goal came from. You know, that ball played into midfield with Pritchard. He was surrounded by three players, but he said, no, give us the ball. I want the ball. And we took the ball in kind of tight areas, and we were just so brave. I mean, if we attack like that and keep the ball like that against League One sides, I mean, you know for a fact we're going to come out and win more games than we're not, because we'll just blow sides away if we have that confidence and that bravery playing against League One sides.
It's something Lee Johnson's talked about a bit, about how sometimes we have to learn to give to not have possession as much. It sounds daft, but it's difficult in League One when you're playing some poor teams, because naturally they're sort of we are playing would be to let us have all of the ball. But what we saw tonight was, is when we play against a team who dominate, when we break, we've got quality on the break. We've got players who are good passers of the ball. We've got forwards who can find space and work in a good area. So from that perspective, it was pleasing. But we will get onto the goals and stuff. I want to just read out some of these three-word reviews that we got off Twitter. I haven't done this in a while, but I was really intrigued to find out sort of the overall mood and see if people were feeling a little bit like I am. And to be fair, majority of people are sort of along the same lines as me and you. I mean, Scott Borthwick, the cricketer, he replied, bloody good effort. Mm-hmm. Ryan, Lord Pidgey, said, well done, lads. Josh Roberts, how are the lads? Paul Noble, lads, done well. John, win the league. Ian Cunningham, fans are amazing. Let's talk about the fans, actually. Yeah, let's go to that. I mean, it was great to hear us 89 minutes, 5-1 down, and still the fans were going mental, and that sort of shows that they felt the pride a little bit as well. I know people probably weren't going there expecting Sunderland to win. Naturally, it would be a bit strange if you did think we were going to go there and turn Arsenal over. But they still went there with the hope that it could happen. And even at the end, obviously, they know the game was away, but they were just showing who they are and what we're about. And that was nice because it's not often they get to do that, is it?
No, well, it just looked like the fans had the same feeling we did. You know, at the end, you could hear them going in the last minute, even when Arsenal put a fifth in, you could hear them still going. I mean, you might be able to hear in my voice. My voice is still gone from Saturday at Portman Road. I'm still struggling to speak after that. But it was the same there. I mean, you know, you hear sometimes, I was talking about it earlier on, that, you know, sometimes you hear or read some negativity and you think, oh, you know, where's this negativity coming from? And you realise sometimes when you go to the game that, you know, especially the away games, that it's all really positive. It feels positive. You come out the game, I mean, even 1-1 at Ipswich, came out the game and, you know, it was all positive. The fans were like, yeah, good, you know, decent performance, that, especially second half, you know, first half a bit flat, but overriding, it was like, yeah, we came here, Ipswich were a good side, got a decent point. And tonight, you know, I imagine the fans are kind of leaving the ground, going into London or wherever now, getting back on the train, thinking, yeah, it was a good night, that. We did all right. We put in a good shift. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, how many times do we say, oh, you know, we just want a team we can be proud of and all this sort of stuff, you know. And tonight, you know, it kind of proves it tonight that, yeah, we get beat 5-1, but we can see that they put a shift in it and we're proud of them.
Yeah, the goals then. The first one, Eddie Nketiah scored. It was a lovely goal, wasn't it?
You're not going to go through all five, are you? Reagan, now.
The first one wasn't the lovely goal. I'm trying, but obviously, there was that many of them. I'm getting mixed up. The first one was probably was a bit of poor marking, actually. It was poor from us. If we're going to be picky, Bailey Wright probably should have done better. He sort of loses his man. I think Embleton probably could have done better, but whatever. Second goal was a nice move. We got took apart down the side. Lovely little pass into the box and Pepe scored. But then we got one back 4 minutes later, and that sort of summed up the attitude of the players on the night. We've touched on it briefly, but Pritchard does unbelievable, to be honest, to hold off three players and then stabs his foot at it to force it into the path of Neil. And then the quality just showed from that point. Neil, great pass to Embleton. Embleton's pass was weighted perfectly, but one thing you've got to remember when you've got players like Embleton is it's all well and good having a player who can pass the ball like that, but your forwards have got to be clever enough to time their runs and position themselves to get on the end of it. I said it privately, Nathan Broadhead to me just is not a League One striker. It's a shame he went off injured, but the finish, I mean, brilliant, wasn't it? Lovely little lofted finish over the top of Leno. Defender scrambling towards it, couldn't get it out of the way, and it goes in. It's a good goal, isn't it?
It was. I mean, absolutely brilliant goal. And as you said, that kind of typified, you know, it was a perfect example of how we approached the game tonight. I mean, just all positive. I mean, Pritchard, you know, Pritchard could have gotten that ball, surrounded by three players, taken a touch. He could have easily knocked it back to Burge, you know, just to get out of trouble. But he didn't. He wanted to turn. He wanted to be positive and go in the other direction. And like I said, Dan Neil ended up running onto it. Dan Neil plays a good pass. Embleton played a good pass. I mean, I heard Lee Johnson talk before the game on Sky, and he actually said, he said, I'm looking forward to it because we've got three ball players in the middle. So he says, I'm really looking forward to seeing how we're going to play. And I think actually Lee Johnson was quite excited because these players kind of had a bit more time on the ball than, you know, they haven't got the bruises of League One going through the back of them every time they take a first touch. And it just showed, I mean, and I suppose, I mean, it might be worth coming on to now. I don't know if you want to do it now, but, you know, in terms of playing that way and having those players, I haven't heard anything from Broadhead yet, but I just hope he comes back
soon. Yeah, they mentioned on Sky that it was a hamstring injury. It's just after half-time, the commentator said that they'd heard it was a hamstring. I really hope it isn't, because we can...
thought it was his calf.
I mean, he is winning us points at the minute in the league, and...
Yeah.
The thing is, it didn't seem to be a lot of contact. I don't think there was, I don't even know if there was any contact. And he was feeling the back of his leg, but I wasn't sure if it was his calf, mate.
I thought it was his calf.
Yeah, it looked like it was, but I guess maybe by the time this pod drops, Johnson will have talked about it. If it is a hamstring, they're not going to know tonight how bad it is. It'll need a scan, and they'll need to look at it properly, and probably in a couple of days, which is really disappointing.
Well, just on the fitness thing, I mean, one thing I did notice, and I thought he had a good game. I thought he had a really good game, but you can tell that Embleton needs minutes. He hasn't played. He hasn't played a lot, and you could tell that. I mean, his touch was brilliant, and if his shot was what 3 or 4 inches to the right. I mean, it would have been right in the top corner.
Oh,
would
have been awesome.
That.
Yeah.
But he needs minutes on the pitch again, doesn't he, to get back up to full stride. Mm.
It's interesting how he's sort of shoehorning Embleton in. That's not the first time he's brought him into the team in the last few weeks to play centre mid.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced of him as a centre mid, but like you just said before, to be fair, Johnson, he could have went safe. He could have played Winchester there and put somebody else at full-back. He could have played Evans, Corey Evans.
Yeah.
Could have played Evans, but he didn't. He thought, why not just go for it? Because, you know, you've got nothing to lose. Like I say, we got beat 5-1, but at least we try to do our thing. And I think people probably got more of an impression of what Johnson's trying to do, what Sunderland are trying to do based on that, than they would have if we'd have just changed everything we're about to try and contain Arsenal and maybe, well, probably would have got beat anyways, right?
Mm. Yeah, that's it. I mean, actually, just one for you, Gav. I mean, they're probably, you know, well, they're probably still in the changing rooms or thereabouts right now. What would you be saying if you were Lee Johnson? What would you be saying to the team in the dressing room after that?
I wouldn't be making excuses for them. I wouldn't be telling them what they did wrong, because they know what went wrong. They're not idiots. They'll watch the footage back. But I don't think there's overly much to dwell on from this in terms of sort of post-match analysis. Johnson, I don't think, will go away and be shown the players things they did wrong from this. Because what's the point? People have pointed this out a few times now. We're not going to be playing teams anywhere near the standard of Arsenal in the league. I mean, if you were being super picky, you would look at Denver Hume as somebody who came on, really struggled tonight. But then you remember who he was playing against. Like, Pepe had him on toast twice. Maybe more than that, actually. But Pepe cost Arsenal 71 million quid.
Yeah.
That's like twice what it cost to buy our club.
Yeah.
And then this guy's like their reserve winger. You know, it's like... sometimes you just got to hold your hands up and say, well, the better team won on the night, you know?
But the other thing with Hume, just if we're talking about individuals, the other thing with Hume is how much football's he played this season.
Mm-hmm.
He's not up to kind of full match fitness, because, I mean, he's probably only played, I mean, has he started maybe 4 or 5, like, EFL trophy games?
He's been sort of thrown in the last two games, hasn't he, as a sub?
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, he's not match fit. And then he's like you said, he's paired up against a £70 million winger, who takes him apart.
Shit hot. He's brilliant. Yeah. I mean, I know he's not going to be playing against League One defenders every week, but he's really good. Like, you can just say that from the glimpses we saw tonight.
Yeah, I got a message from an Arsenal fan saying he can't do it against Premier League players, like, but the thing is, I mean, if you're going to take, you know, if we're going to look at one thing, you might look at us defensively. I mean, I wouldn't take anything necessarily from tonight, but I do think our defensive record away from home is slightly worrying. I think there's only 7 clubs who've got a worse away record in League One than us. And if we tighten that up, I mean, if we tighten that up and keep our home form as it is, I mean, I think we're kind of shoo-in for top two.
It's all about January, isn't it? It's just we knew that. We haven't learned anything new about our defence from this game. We knew these things before the game. We knew that we were poor down the flanks. League One teams have exposed the lack of defensive ability we've got down the left and right hand side of the pitch. It's nothing new to us. I guess the one thing we have discovered is that we're probably a lot shorter than we thought we were, because look what one injury did again. Nathan Broadhead going off, we had to totally change our shape. We lost the game plan that we went into the game with. Whether that be an Arsenal or a League One team, that would have been the case. So we now have to adapt to sort of life without him. But yeah, it's not a great deal to learn from it. I mean, we'll just touch quickly on the other goals. I mean, the two from Nketiah round off, to get his second and his third, were both outstanding goals.
What a player he is.
I mean, and he can't get in their team. He can't get near it. I mean, crazy, isn't it, when you look at how good them two finishes were. But that's why he's a Premier League footballer. That's why he's playing for England under 21s. You know, he's quality. And then the last goal, which was an injury time from a debuting player, Charlie Patino, I think they called him. Yeah, it was a nice little finish, to be fair, and I'm not going to begrudge the lad his moment on his debut, you know, probably the best moment of his life, his family watching, what have you. So
it's from Pepe again as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Pepe again. So yeah, overall, decent performance from Sunderland. Can't really complain too much.
Yeah.
A couple of little things, I guess, the subs. Evans came on, so he's back fit. So that's at least one positive. He's back. Hopefully, see how long he stays fit. Aidan O'Brien came on and did very little, but the game was gone by that point.
Yeah.
And Kim Yoga came on. And strangely, I don't know if it was just because it was the Sky cameras or what, but he looked massive, didn't he? He looks like he's put some serious muscle on.
I was going to say, he's just always wearing been a
small man's top or something.
Yeah, he's always been tall, but yeah, I know what you mean. He has popped out a
bit. Looks like he's been on the mince and dumplings diet. He just looked like a big lad, you know.
He's been around yours and Gav.
Aye. So yeah, nothing much we can take from that other than that we try to play football the right way. And the thing I'm more gutted about than anything is Broadhead's injury. Just sickening, really, after how he's just getting himself back fit and sort of firing. And I mean, he's scored in nearly every game he's played in the last few weeks, and then goes off with what looks like something that could keep him out for at least a month. Hope it's not too serious. It didn't look serious, to be fair. He didn't look like he was in a great deal of pain, and he sort of looked more pissed off that he had to go off, if anything.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's not too bad, but if it is a hamstring, you're looking at least 3 to 4 weeks. That's just, and I don't know, was that the same hamstring that he injured, you know, before earlier in the season? I don't know. I don't know enough about it at the minute, but it's disappointing.
It is. Well, other than that, yeah. Just for the timing, though, it's 3 games next week.
I know. And Ross Stewart just isn't scoring goals at the minute, so sort of like we're missing the main man there. I think it just, again, further reinforces how much we need to bring players in January early. I mean, we're just over a week out from the end of the month, so, you know, there is scope. I suppose it sort of escalates the problem to the recruitment team. They need to have players ready to go in there. Whether they will is another thing, but before then, we've got some important games coming up, and we just have to learn to live without Nathan Broadhead again. We did all right without him for a long period in the season, so fingers crossed we can do it again. Any parting thoughts on that, mate, before we head off?
I mean,
just a little bit deflating because of the injury more than anything.
It is, but like I said, I think there's enough positives we can take from it. And like you said, Lee Johnson can tell the side that, you know, and can keep that positivity going. Because, like I said, next week, 3 games in a week, you know, Monday to Sunday, 3 games. I mean, that's 9 points. The table could look very different after those 3 games. And if we keep this run going, we could really kind of lock in our place up there. And hopefully some of the others slip up. So hopefully Broadhead's not too bad and he comes back. Hopefully it was just a precaution. And next week, I think next week's a huge week for us.
Oh, undoubtedly. I think Doncaster, when you look at it, are a team who we should be beating, even though it's away from home. Again on TV. But then Chef Wed, tough team. Fleetwood, always a tough game for us for some reason. Then we've got Wickham after that. So,
yeah.
I mean, the one game at a time, of course. Doncaster is the big one. We've got to win that. Wigan would beat them, Rotherham would beat them, Wickham would beat them. So I say that, someone will probably point out that they haven't beaten them or something. But we really got to win that game. And nothing that really occurred tonight is a reflection on us. We've had some great form. We're 7 unbeaten in the league. We are scoring goals. We are playing better football. And if anything, people just have to try and keep their chins up and not read too much into how individual players played, because I don't think you've really learned anything about any player really tonight, other than maybe one or two are quite good. Other than that, we already knew all of it. But yeah, cheers, Chris. Thanks for joining us, mate. Cheers, it was short and sweet, but not really much else to go on there. We don't want to lay into the players too much. Everyone listening, if you could head over to rotoreport.com, check out all the great stuff that we've got going up on the website this week. Quickly before we go off, though, we have still a few days left of the fundraiser for the Sunderland Community Soup Kitchen. We hit a huge milestone earlier today. We hit 60 grand, which basically provides enough money to cover the costs of all the food that the soup kitchen will have to buy in over the next 12 months, which is amazing. But we have to keep going, keep digging deep. So if you can and you haven't already donated, please do. And we'll be back probably before Doncaster with a podcast. I think I don't know if we're going to take Christmas off, but if we don't, then have a great Christmas, and we'll catch you all after the break. Cheers.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.